I wonder, have you ever met a Christian who didn't love like Jesus? Have you ever met a Christian who didn't love like Jesus? I hear some laughter, so you're probably like me. You've probably met a lot of these kinds of Christians. I'll give you a couple of examples of folks I've run into, and you can think about your own. Back when I was in high school, there was a girl at our school who was a Christian, and she wanted everybody to know that she was a Christian. She would carry her Bible with her to class. She would make a big deal of stopping to pray before she would eat lunch. She would try to work Jesus into just about every conversation, it seemed. And she didn't do this in like a genuine and humble kind of way, but it was in like an aggressive, like holier-than-thou kind of way. And despite all of these outward displays of her Christianness, she wasn't very kind. She wasn't very friendly. That there were whole groups of people in the school that she wouldn't even talk to because she considered them to be sinners. And I remember even at that time thinking, like, didn't Jesus hang out with sinners? Like, didn't Jesus die for sinners? Hopefully this young lady matured in her discipleship over time, but at least at that time, I thought, man, here's a Christian that just doesn't seem to love like Jesus loves. Or I think about college. There was this traveling preacher who would come around to our college campus from time to time, and he would find the busiest sidewalk that he could find, and he literally had a megaphone, and he would stand there shouting at people, screaming at people, calling people names. He would look at people's appearances, and just by their appearance, he would tell them the reasons that they were going to burn in hell forever. Again, a Christian who just doesn't seem to love like Jesus loves. Years and years ago, I worked at a church where the church council voted to not allow Alcoholics Anonymous to use their fellowship hall during the week. And the reason that they didn't want AA using their fellowship hall was because they just had this nice new carpet put in, and they were afraid if they let outside groups use the church, they might spill coffee, they might get the carpet dirty, so they voted no. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like everywhere we look, we see Christians who aren't really loving like Jesus loves. And I think the truth is, if we're honest, sometimes all we have to do is look in the mirror to see a Christian who doesn't love like Jesus loves, right? It's easier to see in other people sometimes, and we much prefer to see it in other people, but we have our own ways of judging and condemning people. We have our own groups of people that we feel like aren't worthy of our presence or maybe aren't worthy of our love. We don't all fall short in the same ways, but I think most of us, if we're honest, we would admit we fall short of the love of Jesus. And I don't want to rub this in too much this morning, but I do want to point out, when we fail to love like Jesus loves, Jesus forgives us, but it's a problem, right? And it's a problem not just for us, but it's actually a problem for everyone around us in our life. It's a problem for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, for our coworkers. It's a problem for the world when we fall short. Why is that? Well, because whether you realize it or not, we all have people in our lives every single day who need to see the love of Jesus. They need to feel the love of Jesus. They need the hope that Jesus brings. Certainly, I think we could all agree this crazy mixed up world needs the love of Jesus. And guess what? God has called you and God has called me to be the people who show this world, the people around us, the love of Jesus. And so when we fall short of that, not only do we miss out on an opportunity to live into our calling, but the people around us actually notice. Much more than I think we realize, the people around us notice when we fall short. Somebody once approached Gandhi, maybe you've heard this before, somebody once approached Gandhi and asked him his opinion of Christians. And you know what he said? He said, "Well, I like your Christ." He said, "But you Christians to me seem so unlike your Christ." Now, that's a stinging critique, but I think we need to be aware that there's a growing percentage of our society that would agree with Gandhi. I've shared this before, but some of you know that a number of years ago, they did this big survey, and they found that among millennials in America, my generation, among millennials who don't go to church, which is most millennials, 85% of them said that Christians are hypocrites. That Christians are hypocrites. That they talk this big game about the love of Jesus and they want to hold other people to that standard, but they themselves fall short. When we fall short, we miss out on an opportunity to do what God has called us to do. And people around us notice sometimes in ways that turn them away from Jesus altogether. Now, why am I bringing all of this up today? It kind of seems like a downer. I'm bringing this up because I want us to think today about one reason why we so often fall short of the love of Jesus. And I want us to think about this because if we understand this reason, we can do better. And the world needs us. The people around us in our lives, they need us to do better. As it turns out, Jesus knows that this is something we struggle with. Apparently, even Jesus' very first followers struggled to love in the way that Jesus loves. And so in this passage from Luke chapter 6 that Laura read for us a moment ago, Jesus is addressing this head on. And he gives us some really, really helpful guidance. So I want to unpack this with you for a few minutes. Here's the context of this passage. So one day, Jesus goes up on this mountain. And he's up there, and he's praying, and he brings his, not all of his disciples, but like his inner circle, his 12 like apostles, they come to be called. And they're up there, and Jesus is praying, and they're having like this team meeting, and then Jesus comes back down the mountain. And I guess people knew that Jesus was gonna be there, because when he got down at the bottom of the mountain, there was this huge crowd of people waiting for him. Luke really emphasizes this, the narrator. He tells us there was this huge crowd. People came from miles and miles. People walked days and days on foot to come and to see Jesus. Some of these folks wanted healing for their illnesses. Some of these folks just wanted to hear Jesus preach. Both of those groups were in luck because first, Jesus takes some time to do some healing, and then Jesus starts to preach. And he launches into this big sermon that we now know as the Sermon on the Plain. You've heard of snakes on a plane. This is sermon on, and it's a different kind of plane. This is P-L-A-I-N. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure that you're awake. So Jesus, he launches into this sermon, and shortly into it, he turns to this topic of love. And specifically, he starts talking to us about how we should love. What is the kind of love that we should display? What is it look like? And as Jesus is teaching on this, he makes a really helpful distinction. And this is a distinction that I think we so often miss. And because we miss this distinction, that's one of the reasons that we fall short of the love of Jesus. Jesus distinguishes between, on the one hand, what I'm going to call worldly love, normal love, regular old love. And then on the other hand, Jesus talks about this Christ-like love, this divine love. And so he's teaching about this, and he starts out by talking about worldly love first. So let me show you what he says in verse 32 here. Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them." What is Jesus getting at here? When he says sinners, you know, sometimes we bristle at that term. I don't think he means to be insulting. He's just saying, listen, everybody loves people who love them, right? There's nothing special about that. Even mean people, even hateful people love people who love them. If you want to take it to the extreme, you think about someone we all think of as evil, like Hitler, you know? Even Hitler loved people who loved him, you know? That's nothing remarkable or special. Jesus goes on, and he says, if you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? He says, even sinners do that. Everybody acts that way. You don't even have to be a particularly nice person to do good to those who do good to you. And then finally, he says, if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Do you see the point that Jesus is making here? He's saying, listen, a lot of what passes for love in this world, it's fine. It's okay. It's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't rise to the level of Christ-like love. A couple months ago, Kirsten and I were at the airport. We were getting ready to take a flight, and we got there pretty early. We had a lot of time to wait at the airport. And we realized that there was actually an earlier flight that we could get on and not have to wait around for so long at the airport. The problem was we pulled up the app to change our flight, and the app wanted to charge us a flight change fee, and we didn't want to have to pay the fee. So we had time to kill anyway, so we went to the customer service desk to see if a human being would let us change our flight without the fee. And we get up to the front talking to the customer service agent, and let me tell you, I was so nice. I was so kind. I was laying it on thick. I'm asking this woman about her family and how her day is going. And in that moment, I felt so loving. But guess what? Jesus would look at that and he would say, hey, don't kid yourself. Anybody would love like that if they wanted to change their flight. There's nothing special about that kind of love, right? Well, I think a number of years ago, I had a different job. And one day, one of my coworkers, he came in and he had this plate full of homemade cookies that his wife had made. And he didn't give any cookies to me or any of our other coworkers. He took the cookies and he gave them to the boss. Well, then the next day he came in and he had two Starbucks drinks. One was for him, one was for the boss. He didn't have any Starbucks for me. Well, this kind of thing, this went on like this for several days with all of these gifts. And so finally I asked him about it, like, man, I didn't realize you and the boss were so close that y'all were such good friends. Like, and he goes, he kind of laughed. He's like, we're not friends. He said, I'm getting ready to ask for a raise. I'm just trying to butter him up. Well, Jesus would look at that and say, okay, I mean, that's nice what he did for the boss. I guess you could call that loving, but don't get confused. That does not rise to the level of Christ-like love, right? Anybody who wants a raise can do stuff like that. So I imagine as Jesus is preaching on this, either people look confused or maybe somebody in the crowd raises their hand and says, okay, Jesus, we get it, worldly love, it's kind of transactional, you know, quid pro quo kind of thing. So tell us, what's the alternative? What is this love that you're calling us to, Jesus? And he says, I'm so glad that you asked. In verse 35, Jesus says, instead of just settling for this kind of worldly love, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good, he says. Notice, he doesn't say do good to those who do good to you. Just do good indiscriminately. Do good to everybody and lend expecting nothing in return. Do you see how this differs from what typically passes for love in this world? You know, worldly love, you can usually identify it because it almost always starts with the question of what's in it for me? What's in it for me? But this kind of love that Jesus calls us to, this starts with the question of what's in it for them? If I'm gonna love my enemies, there may not be much in it for me. If I'm gonna do good to people who cannot, will not ever do good to me, or give without expecting anything in return, there may not be much in it for me, but I can still be a blessing for them. This kind of love is so hard for us. It's so countercultural, and I think it's counterintuitive to us, but when we see it, when we feel it, when we experience it, this kind of love is transformational. This is the kind of love that could actually change the world. I wonder if you've ever been on the receiving end of this kind of love. I was thinking this week a lot about teachers. Shout out to any teachers. I know we got a couple teachers in the room. My children are at an age right now where they're learning how to read. And we've been fortunate they've had such great teachers that have been helping them to learn how to read. And it's caused me to think back, way back in the day, to my own teachers who helped me to learn how to read. And as I think about those teachers, there wasn't much in it for them in terms of teaching me to read. Right? I'm sure looking back that they were probably underpaid. They were probably underappreciated, undervalued as they did that hard work of teaching me how to read. They knew that I was never going to be able to pay them back. I mean, I don't even remember a lot of their names at this point. But they didn't approach their work from the question of what's in it for me, that they approached it from what's in it for them, what's in it for my students. And as a result, they gave me the gift of literacy that I take for granted every single day, that I use every single day. My life wouldn't even be possible if I didn't know how to read, right? So I think teachers embody this so much, this giving, this Christ-like love. I wonder if you've experienced a love like that. Have you ever hurt someone? And it would have been so easy for them to just hurt you right back, but instead they showed you love or forgiveness. I wonder Has someone ever given you something that you didn't earn, that you didn't deserve? Maybe it was the gift of an opportunity that got you started in your career. Or was it the gift of money, perhaps, that you could never repay, but they gave it to you anyways? If you've been on the receiving end of that, you know that kind of love is transformational. And that's the kind of love that Jesus is about. I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the service that we're in the season of Lent, and we've been talking lately about how in this season, we're on this kind of spiritual journey with Jesus toward the cross. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Holy Week when we commemorate that final week of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross. And then there's Good Friday. We commemorate when he died. And then Easter, of course, when he's raised. And this is a good season as we're journeying with Jesus to the cross to remember that on the cross, Jesus practices what he preaches right here. If you think about it, when Jesus goes to the cross, he was loving his enemies. Right? He was loving the very people who drove the nails into his hands. It's hard for us to even imagine that. Jesus was doing good, not just to those who were doing good to him. In that moment on the cross, nobody was doing good to him. Jesus was giving us this gift that we could never repay, overcoming sin and evil and death for us. He knew we could never pay him back for that, but he did it anyways, because that's the kind of love that Jesus is about. And that's what he calls us to show the world. That's what the world is desperate for. And when we love like this, people notice, right? But when we love in a worldly way, nobody notices that. It's normal. But people notice when we love like this. And so I wonder, is there at least one way this week, don't put this off forever, but this week, is there one way that you can practice this kind of Christ-like love? Is there someone that you hate or a group of people that you hate? Be honest. And can you take a moment to lift up a prayer for that person or those people? Is there someone in your life who has never done anything nice for you or good for you? Could you do something good for them? Is there a gift that you could give to someone that they could never repay? Here, I'll give you a specific example that I thought of, and this may sound counterintuitive at first, but could you invite someone to church? Could you invite someone to church? Why do I lift that up? Well, it seems to me that one reason that we don't invite more people to church, if we're honest, is because on the surface of it, it's not all that clear what's in it for us, you know? I already have this great church family. It's working for me. I assume it's working for you. Y'all keep showing up here, right? We like Kindred. It's good for us. It's working. Then I think about inviting someone else. Well, that could get uncomfortable maybe, or that might be outside of my comfort zone. So there's maybe a cost there without a direct benefit to me. But if we flip it around, and if we think about inviting people to church from the perspective of what's in it for them, well, that changes the game, right? Because you just never, ever know how God might use a simple invitation to church that you give someone. So something that we sometimes forget is that we're surrounded by people every single day who have the same challenges that we have, that they have struggles in their marriage, they have struggles relating to how to raise their children, they have struggles with mental health and with work and on and on and on. But unlike us, so many of our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends, they don't have this kind of church family in their life. They don't have this family that is speaking the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus to them, that is reminding them that they have a higher calling and purpose in this life. Whether you realize it or not, I would bet you anything, there are people in your life that have decided that church is just not for them, that they would never belong in church, that there is no church that would accept them. So what a powerful difference it would make for them to extend a simple invitation to church, right? There may not be much in it for us directly, but what's in it for them? So I'd encourage you to hold that question in your mind this week. What's in it for them? And find at least one way to practice Christ-like love. As we do that, we may not get much out of it for ourselves, but there is one thing that we'll get. And Jesus tells us this in the rest of verse 35. Jesus says, if you do, that is, if you love like me, you will have a great reward. What is that reward? Well, you will be acting the way that children of the Most High act. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you love like me, one thing you will get is you'll get the joy of knowing that you're giving this world, you're giving people around you something that, whether they even realize it or not, they desperately need. You're going to be giving people a glimpse of what God is like, of what Jesus is like as you share Christ-like love. Let me pray for us. Oh God, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we're so grateful that you don't love us with a worldly love. You don't love us in this what's in it for me kind of way, because God, you have everything. And there's nothing we could give you that you don't already have. But you love us anyways, Lord. And in this season, as we're journeying you with you to the cross, Jesus, we're mindful that this is the kind of love that you display, that you practice what you preach. So, God, help us rise to the challenge. We're not naturally gifted for this, most of us, but we know that the folks around us in this world need to see this kind of love on display. God, help us not just to talk about it, but help us to be about it. So we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to invite you all